Good morning, church. Happy Easter. I love it. All right, everybody, take your pictures now if you want to see the preacher in the tithe. That's it. I mean, after today, glad that you're with us this morning. Did you know that we've been going through the Psalms? If you've been following with me through the Lenten season with the Psalms, yesterday was Psalm 22, and I was thinking about probably the most famous Psalm, Psalm 23. It says, part of that Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why is that? Because Jesus has overcome death. Yes? And that's good news, church. So we come today to celebrate a risen Savior. Let our hearts just kind of get. Thank you for that intro. I've got an intro there. Been waiting for that. Let our hearts rejoice in that as we worship. So welcome to our worship service. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We love you so much. Because you love us so much. We pray that this day would please you. We pray that you would surprise us today. May your name be glorified as we worship. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship together.
Oh, shame is a prison. As cruel as the grave, shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave. Between death and life, there on a tree, the land. God was crucified. He went on down to hell, took back every key. He rose up as a lion. Now he's setting all the captives free. There ain't no break. They hold his body down. There ain't no into. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. Oh, if you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. There ain't no grave.
In the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would like to come forward and see Miss Carlene and Teresa, they can.
Morning. Hey guys, how are y'all this morning? Hey Max, how are you? Hi. Good morning. Happy Easter. Hey Reuben. All right, come on boys. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Hi. You want to sit right there? You want to sit right here? Good. Hi. Hey Maggie, how are you? Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Is everybody excited to be here today?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, no. Are you excited to be here today?
Yes.
All right. So what is so special about today? Jesus arose from the dead. It is what we call Easter. Right. Has everybody had a good morning already?
Yes.
Got lots of fun things planned, maybe with family and friends, maybe? Yeah. You've already did yours today. We did ours yesterday, too, so we're good. Yeah. But it's any time we can spend with time with friends and family, and we can remember what today is. It's about Jesus, right? And how much he loves us. Do you know Jesus loves you?
Yes.
Yes, he loves you so much. And we're going to talk about that great big love that he has for us. You know, as we began, you know, last Sunday, it began in Jerusalem. 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And remember we had a palm praise? We walked through the sanctuary waving palm branches, remembering that. I know some of you may not have been here, but we did that last week. But Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and they praised him. But he knew what was coming at the end of the week. And today, we know what happened today, right? The tomb was empty, right? Yes, amen. But Jesus did so much for us in his whole life. He did so much for us. So we're going to talk about that. So we've brought our Easter eggs with us this morning. I've got my Easter eggs with our very small eggs, right? The big eggs. Yes, I know. Well, I had to find something that I could, you know. All right. So I have a blue egg here. And in my first egg, I have a cross. Can everybody see that? Yes. So why do you think I have a cross in this egg? Because of Jesus. That's right. Did Jesus carry his cross?
Yes.
Was he arrested? And they were going to put him to death, right? And he had to carry his cross, right?
Yes.
But he loved us enough that he carried his cross. And it says on here, it says John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to us, right? He did. And so this is where Jesus carries his cross. And then, do you know what happens after that? Do you know what happens after that? When they get to the cross, what did they do to Jesus? What do you think's in this?
They nailed him.
They nailed him to the cross. So I have, in this egg, I have three nails.
That's dangerous.
Oh, yes. Do you think that these were the nails that went into Jesus' hands and feet? No, they were bigger, right? But I only brought this size just because it just wants you to think about this. The nails that they did, they nailed them through his hands and through his feet. Can you imagine that? Was that painful, you think, for him?
Yes.
But did he do that because he loves us?
Yes.
Yes. And so they put him on the cross and they nailed him to the cross. And he stayed on that cross for us. He died. And he was on that cross for each one of us.
I will do the third egg. What do you think is in the third egg?
The tomb.
Mm-hmm. The rock. That's right. So I have a stone. Now, with the stone, after Jesus died, they placed him in a tomb, his body in a tomb. And they rolled a large stone in front of the tomb. And then on Sunday, two women came to the tomb. They saw that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was open. So with this stone, let's remember that not even a large stone could keep Jesus in the grave. Now the fourth one, last one. What do you think's in this one?
Nothing.
That's right. There's nothing. Why would there
Can
be nothing?
Jesus
rose. He is gone.
That's right.
Yes. Those two women, they went inside the tomb and it was empty. Jesus was not there. There was an angel, and the angel said to them, says, "He is not here. He has risen from the dead, just like he said he would. Come and see where he laid." So this empty egg can remind us of the empty tomb and that Jesus is risen and he is alive today.
Amen. Amen. So, yes. So as we think about that, so Jesus died on the cross. Jesus carried his cross. They nailed his body to the cross, and he died there. He was put into a tomb, and that stone was rolled on there. But on that third day, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. And that is what we are celebrating today, because Jesus has risen from the grave. Jesus lives today. And do you know how we can know that Jesus lives today? How? Does God's word tell us that Jesus lives today? And so we, the Bible, that's right. So we can go and tell others that Jesus lives today and that he loves each one of us. And his love is so big. It is so big for all of us. Isn't that amazing, incredible love? Yeah. Everyone in the whole wide world. I know. Isn't that big love? Yes. And it says in John 16:6, it says, Jesus is alive. So we celebrate today that Jesus is risen and he lives today.
So let's celebrate today and every day knowing Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. He is alive today. Say that with me. Jesus
is risen.
He is alive
today.
Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so very much for loving us and sending us Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much that you died on the cross for our sins. And help us, Lord, live each and every day knowing Jesus is risen and lives today. In your most holy name, I pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Jesus is alive, by the way. Did you know that? And if he did not come out of the grave, we're wasting our time here this morning, to be honest. I'm not looking for any sympathy, but Carly and I get up at 4:50 on Sunday mornings to get up here and open the building, get things ready. I could have slept in this morning. But I'm grateful I get to get up at 4:50 because Jesus is alive. Amen? I'm grateful for that. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service through the app. For those of you worshiping online with us, God bless you. You can go ahead and check into the online service. If you want to know more about our fellowship, you don't have to have the app, but there's a QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. You can scan that, and it'll take you to the web version of the app. It'll let you know all of our ministries, what we're about, so that's an option for you. Several things coming up. Next Sunday, the 12th, during the Sunday school time, we'll have an all-church meeting talking about perhaps possibly moving forward with construction on the new sanctuary, the new building. And that'll start at 9:30 promptly, so there'll be no adult or youth Sunday school, but there will be Sunday school for children in the fifth grade and below. Our last Wednesday night for the spring is the 15th. We have two more Wednesday nights. On the 22nd, it's our annual youth cake and pie auction, and we raise funds for youth camps and mission trips for the summer, and if you're coming, you better bring your checkbooks, all I got to say, because there are some apparently really good pies there that go for a lot of money, cakes as well. That's the 22nd. And then on the 26th, Sunday the 26th, we'll have a youth Sunday. The youth will lead that Sunday worship time. And then we're going to honor graduating seniors on the 26th and again May the 3rd. So lots of stuff coming up over this next month. So this morning, I just want to thank the Lord for salvation that we have through Christ. You know, Carlene asked the question, how do we know that Jesus is alive? Well, his word says that, right? I was thinking about the old hymn, He Lives. The chorus goes something like that. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today, walks with me and talks with me, a long life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. You can't convince me otherwise. He's alive. He's alive. He's worthy of praise. So let's pray to him, worship him for the rest of our time together. And so join me in prayer. Oh, Jesus, precious Jesus, the name above every name, sweet Jesus. Gosh, we're just at a loss for words as to what to say to you. We get to praise you for eternity someday, and it's going to be about you. It should always be about you. It should never be about us. But when we step over into glory, it'll be about you and the Father. We get to worship you for eternity. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for laying your life down, Jesus, and taking your life back up again. You didn't have to do that. You had the authority to do one or the other or neither one, but you chose. You chose to give your life for us, and we thank you for that. We praise you for that. So I pray this morning, Jesus, that everybody in this room has an encounter with you. Something that's deep, something that's fresh, something that's profound. And maybe for some of us, just maybe it's been a while since we've talked of you, we've connected with you, and would you stir something up in us this morning? Lord, there may be some this morning that maybe they never really encountered you in a profound way, experienced you as a Savior. So, Lord, I pray this morning that every one of us in this room has an encounter with you. I pray that your presence is just tangible, that it's almost like, Jesus, we're rubbing up against you. Meet us here today. Meet us here today. God, I pray blessings over this congregation, Lord. It's a day to celebrate the resurrection, but Lord, this is also a day where families just get together and enjoy each other. So, Lord, I just pray blessings on families this day. Lord, I pray if there's discouragement in families because of a death, because of an illness, I just pray that joy break in. And I pray for encouragement for those families. Lord, if there's reconciliation that needs to take place maybe between family members. God, I just pray for reconciliation there. Lord, just bless us today. Help us to enjoy, first of all, Jesus, what you've done for us. And secondly, help us enjoy life as a family. God, you established that. That was your idea. It wasn't man's idea. So, Lord, just be good and kind and gracious to us today. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If the Lord stirs your heart to give this morning, we have electronic options that are on the screen. Also, our offering boxes are by by the doors. If you need prayer this morning, you can fill out a prayer request card that's in the chair pocket in front of you. You can drop those in the offering boxes as well. Also, we'll have people available for prayer after this service. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
Mountain where I run, the fountain.
Good morning again, church. Happy Easter. Is the Holy Spirit welcome here?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We are thrilled if you are our guest this morning. We're thrilled you're here. I know some of you are visiting with family and maybe even live out of town, and that's we love having you. If you are someone that's interested in finding out a little bit more about our church, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests at the end of the service. So welcome. Glad you are here. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. Beginning in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. I bet they did. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified." By the way, crucified means dead. Is that pretty clear? They didn't take people down off the cross alive. "He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is Matthew, one of the disciples, writing these words. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome here. We invited you and we trust in your promises that you are with us. Would you now, Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's Easter message is entitled, "He is Risen." That demands a response. How many of you, a few of you, I know, were able to make the movie Friday night, the Shroud of Turin movie? Raise your hand. Let's see. Several of you, a bunch of you. We got about, I guessed about 60, 70 folks or so that saw that. I want to recap a couple of things from that movie. If you didn't see that, you don't get too many movie recommendations from the pastor, but I'm just telling you, that's worth an hour and a half of your time to listen to. You can YouTube and go to, I'm not a big Tucker Carlson guy these days, but it's Tucker Carlson Shroud of Turin. You'll find it. He was the one asking the questions. But one of the things that, just a few things that's in that film, this expert, the Shroud of Turin is a burial cloth of Jesus. And it's been, and it's, you know, dates back to Jesus' time. There was false science that debunked it in the 80s, and that has been overturned with current and real science. But it has an image of a crucified man on this cloth. Now, the way they did the burial cloths is it was a linen cloth, and they would start at the head and go down, wrap around the feet, and come all the way under the backside of the body for burial. That was the Jewish tradition of the burial cloth. This image, there is an image that's seared into this cloth that modern science, we don't have the technology to duplicate it. People have tried to duplicate it. There's a man that offered $1 million to anyone who could duplicate it. But let me tell you a little bit about this image that's on this shroud. It shows a crucified man, which the evidence points to Jesus's shroud. And this is a man who was brutally tortured and killed. There's wounds all over this body that match the gospel accounts of Jesus. And one of the things that's really so interesting, and again, science. So I tell people all the time, science is not the Christian's enemy. True, good science is our friend. Because it just verifies things that are true. That's what science should do. People of all different types of specialties have examined this. One is they've looked at the blood stains on this. And did you know that there is a difference? You can tell chemically, scientifically, you can tell blood that was shed while the person was alive versus blood that was shed post-mortem, that after the person was dead. The blood, the chemical makeup of the blood changes. Guess what? All the wounds on this image, all of the wounds have blood that while the person was alive. There's blood on the head. There's blood all up and down the body. There's actually piercings of both of the wrists. They're on both of the heels. And all of that is while this person was alive. Guess what? There's one spot that's post-mortem blood. Any ideas where that might be? There's a piercing on the side of this image. And the blood stain from that stain is blood that was shed after death. They can tell this chemically, scientifically. Amazing. Amazing. What I'm trying to get at here is Jesus really died. He was really resurrected. As Christians, there's a lot of things we can disagree with. You know, I like this song. I don't like that song. I like this style. I don't like that style. The liturgy, you know, I don't like that. I mean, we can disagree about a lot of different things, but there's a few things that are non-negotiable in my mind, and that is Jesus Christ suffered for us. He died, and he was raised on the third day. Those are three of the things that are non-negotiable. Now, if that really happened, shouldn't that change us? I mean, if that really happened and we really believe that Jesus died for us because he loves us. Go back and listen to last week's sermon. We talked a lot about that. And he died for us because he loves us, but death couldn't hold him. In fact, you can read this in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, the church in Corinth, they're having this discussion about, well, some believe in the resurrection, some don't, and all this stuff. Listen to what Paul says, and I believe this is for us as well. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15. If the tomb wasn't empty, then Christ has not been raised from the dead. My preaching is useless, he says, and so I would tell you, my life is a waste. What I'm doing this morning, as Billy said, Billy, if the tomb wasn't empty, you shouldn't get up at 4:50 on a Sunday morning to come open the building. My preaching is useless if the tomb wasn't empty. Your faith and my faith is futile and useless, Paul says. We are false witnesses about God, he says. In other words, we're liars. And you are still in your sins if the tomb isn't empty. Those who have died proclaiming Christ as Lord are lost. And I'm telling you, that's not true. And we are pitied above all others if the tomb wasn't empty. And then there's a beautiful three character word, but. B-U-T. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. So, if that's true, church, what does that mean for us? I mean, it means more than just coming to church on Easter, getting our best duds out, you know, preacher wearing a tie and impressing everybody. It means more than that. Thank you, Larry. It means more than that. It should be a life-changing event for us, yes? Well, let's talk about that. If the tomb really was empty, it demands a response from us. First thing, if the empty tomb compels us to declare that Jesus is alive. I say it every week at the end of the sermon, at the end of our service. What? Go and tell someone. Tell them what? Tell them Jesus is alive. Tell them that he loves them, that he died for them. The angel told the women were coming to, this is another thing you'll learn from that film on the shroud. They didn't preserve the bodies in the Jewish tradition. They didn't preserve the bodies in any way. They had to bury the body right away, and they had, I think, 5 days that they would come to the tomb and that they would grieve over the body. And the women were coming that first Easter morning with anointing oil to anoint the body, I know this is kind of gross, but so that it wouldn't stink while they were grieving. While they were sitting with the body grieving, it wouldn't stink. So they're coming to anoint a dead body, and guess what? They meet this angel sitting on the rock going, this is my paraphrase, I can see the angel going, "What are you doing, ladies? Don't you remember what he said? He said he was going to be raised on the third day. So what are you doing coming to anoint a dead body? He's not here." But then he had a task for them, a mission for them. He said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples what you've seen." What have you seen? "I've seen Jesus' tomb is empty. He's alive." And immediately, go tell somebody. That's not just news for you. It's to be shared. And then as they are on their way to do that, then the women meet up with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. "Don't be afraid." What's he tell them? "Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my brothers what you've seen. Go and tell my brothers I'm alive. Tell them to meet me. We'll have some breakfast." I was told this years ago. I love this story, but because I was raised with two boys and I was the younger, so I can see this younger brother. But there was a boy, he was about eight or so, and he had a little brother about five. And this happened, unfortunately, many times. We broke things. I don't know, does anybody, any other boys break things? But this eight-year-old, the older brother, he's playing with this baseball, and he accidentally breaks a window. And the little brother sees it, and he sees an opportunity. And the little brother says, "I'm telling Mom and Dad." And the big brother pleads with him, "Please don't tell Mom and Dad." And little brother, "Nah, I'm telling Mom and Dad." And the big brother says, I got some candy in my room. I'll give you all the candy I have." He said, I don't want your candy." He said, "Well, I'll do your chores for a week." "I don't want you to do my chores." He says, "Well, I've got a brand new baseball glove. You can have my brand new baseball glove." says, I don't want your baseball glove. I said, for goodness sake, what do you want? He says, I want to tell. Little brothers, we know how to get our own thing. Man, we know what's going on. We should have that same, we should want to tell. If he's done something for us, if he's changed our life, if he's forgiven us of our sin that we know we didn't deserve, I say it all the time, I was deserving of his wrath and I received his mercy. That's good news. I should tell you. It's not about being a preacher. Jesus has given us, you and I, that message. Go and tell the world that I'm alive. Secondly, the empty tomb compels us to proclaim Jesus as Lord and God. Lord and God. When the Matthew 28 that we just read in verse 17 says, when the disciples saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him. You don't worship a prophet. You don't worship a great teacher. Who do you worship? God. Thomas was, when Jesus appeared to the disciples for the first time, Thomas wasn't there. You know the story. He wasn't there. And they're telling him, man, Thomas, he's alive. We've seen him. The women have seen him. The tomb is empty. And Thomas says, no, unless I can put my finger in his side, I will not believe. Well, about a week later, Thomas is with them. Jesus appears again. And you would think, scolds them, but what does he do? He greets them. He says, peace be with you. He doesn't scold them. And he goes over to Thomas. Says, Jesus said to Thomas, hey, Thomas, put your finger. See my hands? Put them in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And here's, this is it, this is the biggie right here. What was Thomas's response? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. When we encounter the risen Jesus, and we may not be able to put our finger this side of heaven in his side, but when we have an encounter with him, that should be our response, my Lord and my God. In fact, when the angel told Mary that she was, as a virgin, she was going to give birth to a child, he said that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, not a great teacher with us. And you're gonna hear that in our culture. You may even hear that through the churches, different churches and preachers may, they have, it's like, oh, that scientifically, we can't wrap our mind around the fact that Jesus was dead and he rose from the dead. So I've told you before, I had a professor, a Christian professor, tell me that he wasn't sure the crucifixion happened. He thinks it might have just been a parable. I'm telling you, church, that kind of stuff is out there. We have to come to that place where we put our finger in his side and we say, my Lord and my God. That's who you are. We confess you as Lord and God. Thirdly, the empty tomb compels us to love on Christ's behalf. You know the story of Peter. I love Peter because he's a knucklehead like me. Any other knuckleheads in the room? Raise your hand if you're a knucklehead. We got company. It's okay. But Peter, you know, Jesus is going, you're all gonna scatter. He's at the Last Supper and he's telling them that. He's just washed their feet. And Peter bows up and says, not me. If everybody else falls away, I won't. And Jesus, you know, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny you even know me three times. And then when Peter heard that Jesus had risen, that the tomb was empty, I just can picture Peter going, just excited, but also going, uh-oh. The last time I saw him, I said I didn't even know him. And yet Jesus greeted him with peace. And then he's the Jesus, the resurrected Jesus on the shore. He's cooking them breakfast, and he says, we know the story. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? And each time Peter says, yes, I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. And it's interesting, and this struck me a few years ago, that Jesus didn't ask, do you love my sheep? And we should love his sheep. But that's not the question. Do we love him? Do we love him? And the fruit of that is we love his sheep if we love him. He's saying, if you love me, I have a task for you that's going to demonstrate your love for me. Go and love on my behalf. Our love and our service for other people demonstrates our love for Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you, we live, if we're honest, we live in a self-centered world. We come out of the womb pretty self-centered, don't we? I think all of us, it's natural for us to think more about our own needs. But Jesus said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. That's what's going to prove it. Fourthly, the empty tomb compels us to share the good news. What is the good news? I say it, go and tell someone every week. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus loves us, he died for us, and death couldn't hold him. And because death couldn't hold him, it can't hold us. It has no authority over us as followers of Jesus Christ. I've said it so many times, but I can tell within a minute if a family that I don't know, never met in my life, when they have loss, when I go to minister to them for a funeral, I can tell within a minute if they know Jesus. It's just different. It's just different. I had a man who's been gone. He's been with Jesus several years, but I went to see him. He was dying of cancer. Went to see him in the hospital, and we had a visit, and I prayed with him, and was getting ready to leave, and something kind of came over me, and I could tell that he was scared to death of dying. I could just tell it. And so I just asked him, are you afraid of dying? And he said, yes, I most certainly am. Scared to death. And we just had a great conversation. And I said, when I leave the hospital, I'm going to walk out to my truck and I'm going to walk through the parking lot and I may get hit by a vehicle. I may go before you. And if I go and I'm face to face with my Savior, and he asked me to make an accounting for myself, I know what I would tell him. Check your book, the Lamb's Book of Life. My name's in it. Not because I'm a great guy, not because I've done this or done that or not done this or done that. It's because I know what Jesus has done for me. I know that he's conquered death, and I know that he went to the cross because he loves me. And that has penetrated my heart of hearts, and I just know that I know that I know. Scripture tells us that we will know by the Spirit, our spirit will know through the Spirit if we belong to Jesus. We'll just know. If you don't know this morning, if you don't know, please, I want you to know. I want you to know, just like that gentleman in the hospital ended up leading him to the Lord. He'd been in our church. I ended up leading him to the Lord, and his family told me later, they said, what did y'all talk about? He's different. The dread that was in his heart is gone. He's at peace. What did y'all talk about? Just a little about Jesus. Just a little about Jesus. Romans tells us Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God. How? By the resurrection from his resurrection from the dead. That proclaimed him my Lord and my God. It declared that he is the Son of God. That same power that raised him, church, can live in us. If we're followers of Jesus Christ, that same power lives in us. You know, one of the things that as we come to this meal today, a word that's really been sticking out to me lately is the word remember. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, and he knows, he's been telling the disciples what's going to happen, and they had been, for hundreds of years, they had been observing the Passover meal, hearkening all the way back to Egypt when the Lord told Moses to have them sacrifice a lamb, take a pure lamb, and put the lamb's blood over the door. And as death swept through Egypt, every home that as the spirit of death came through and it saw the blood, when it saw the blood of the lamb, death passed over. And they'd been celebrating this. And Jesus that night, he says, I'm the lamb. I'm the lamb. He said, this is my body broken for you. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this is now the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And as he set that table and as he explained things, he said, when you partake of this meal, remember. Remember me. Remember what I've done for you. In that first meal, it was what he was getting ready to do. But now he's done it. And he's saying, when you partake of this meal, remember. So if you'll just bow your heads in your own personal prayer, in your own heart, confess your own sin before our loving and holy God. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for finding us. I don't know why, but you found us worthy to suffer and die for our sake. But yet the death could not hold you. Death had no victory over you. May this bread and this cup be for us the body and blood of Jesus. Pray a blessing on these elements as we partake, and we indeed do remember. We remember who you are and what you've done, your great love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. Those who are serving would come forward, please. Christ our Lord invites you to his table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. It's the Lord's table. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you repent of your sin, you're welcome. You do not have to be a member of our church. There's three stations over here, and there's three stations on this side that you'll be given a piece of bread, and you'll dip the bread into the cup and partake. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center and partake there. And there's a discard canister right there beside it. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He lives. Come.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Your name is Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Sing this with us.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is
tell you, if you got one of the Easter lilies, there's a bunch here. If you didn't get an Easter lily and you want an Easter lily, Larry, whatever's left, I'm taking to your house. Come and get an Easter lily. Take it home. Jesus is not in the tomb.
No.
He is risen. Just like he said. That's good news, church. Happy Easter. Go and tell someone.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.